Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
I am Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. Business leaders are navigating uncharted waters today, especially in today's business climate, and making decisions that can have a lasting impact on their business. So how can you protect yourself and your team from making those dangerous judgment errors known as cognitive bias to develop smartest, most strategic, and most profitable decision-making strategies today for tomorrow? Well, today at the cafe, I'm excited to have Dr. Gleb Tepersky, disaster avoidance expert, to discuss strategies to mitigate the potential biases in your decision making. Gleb, welcome.
Thank you so much, Angela. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm really excited to have you on. I know we talked about this about a month or so ago, and we had to postpone a little bit, but I'm happy to we finally were able to do this. It was never going to be in the studio, so this was always going to be the way it is. And where are
Fair
you,
enough.
By the way? Where are you?
I'm in Columbus, Ohio. Go Bucks.
All right. There you go.
Hopefully they'll play again someday.
Hopefully. Yeah, we're all wishing for that. I was telling somebody today, my sporting activities, I got a Peloton. I gave in, and so I've been spinning like crazy and eating like crazy, too. So those are the kind of the good and the bad. But my wife and I have been playing all these old-fashioned board games like Sorry and Trouble and Jenga, you know, keeping ourselves busy. So, first of all, you and your family are well, I hope?
My immediate family is well, my wife and I. Unfortunately, my dad is not. He's in New York. He's 79, and he looks like he may well have COVID-19. He is feeling not so great, like very strong flu symptoms, and he was tested yesterday, actually, so we should get the results in a couple of days. So I'm pretty concerned about him, actually. So that's definitely an anvil on my chest.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. And I know, like I would be, my inclination to be to hop on a plane and head out there.
Yeah,
and I know that unfortunately,
it's not impossible.
It's not possible. My oldest boy actually just hopped on a plane and flew to Portland. Outside of Portland, he's living on a lavender farm right now. It's beautiful wherever he is, but he managed to be, I think, be one of 10 people on an airplane flying up to Portland a week ago, yesterday, actually.
Okay.
So let's get on to the business at hand, because this topic is probably more timely today than it was a month or so ago when we were going to get on the conversation.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, very unfortunately. So before we start, let's tell the audience about you and your book in your business.
Sure. So my expertise is in helping leaders avoid disasters and professionals avoid disasters. Unfortunately, I'm very busy nowadays. And it's about risk management, decision-making, strategic planning in such a way as to minimize disasters, maximize success. That's my expertise. I run a company called Disaster Avoidance Experts. It's a six-people company that does training, consulting, and coaching in these topics. Now, for my own background, I've been doing training, consulting, and coaching for over 20 years in all of these topics. And at the same time, I've also been in academia. So I got here to Columbus because I was teaching at Ohio State as a professor for 7 years.
Oh, okay.
I spent 15 years in academia doing cognitive neuroscience and behavioral economics, studying how we make decisions badly, why we screw up so much, and how we can make better decisions to avoid disasters. So that's my expertise, and it's all come together in a recent book on this topic, Never Go With Your Gut, How Pioneering Leaders Make the Best Decisions and Avoid Business Disasters. And like you said, it's more timely today than ever. Published by a great traditional publisher called Courier Press, so it's available in physical bookstores if they're still open where you are, and of course available online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's available in audiobook form and Audible, so any place you want to get it.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, I know there's a few bookstores around somewhere. I'm not sure where they are. So obviously I would head to online as I've been buying more and more things. I even bought groceries for the first time online.
Oh, yeah.
Took a week for them to get here. I would have starved to death if I was waiting on them. But we'll go from there. So let's, before we kind of get into the book and get into some very specifics, I ask my guests a couple questions. Mm-hmm. So when you think about your business, and again, you mentioned it, it's booming, but when you think about growing your business, what keeps you up at night?
Oh, gosh. What I get really worried about when thinking about business is that so few business leaders think about disasters, and they think really about growth, about cash, about profit, and that's great. But it's really what makes the difference between successful businesses and those that aren't successful are the ones that don't fail during times of trouble, during times of crisis. And I think too few people think about that, and too few people realize that during ordinary times. Right now, there's much more attention to this. But that's what usually keeps me up at night. I don't know yet about what will keep me up at night in the next, you know, several years while we're dealing with COVID-19.
Sure. Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because, you know, I'm a fractional chief marketing officer. So I work with a lot of small to middle market companies. And so many times we're all focused on, you know, the revenue we're generating today and not really thinking about the impact of tomorrow. And I'm a huge believer in I preach a lot about competitive strategies and looking at whether offensive or defensive and things like that, because we always have to look into the future, not just necessarily look to tomorrow, literally tomorrow, but, you know, what that future does bring. So the other question I like to ask is, what is the best business advice you've ever received?
The best business advice I've received was to focus on the incentives of the person in front of me, not focus on my own incentives. So focus on what I can assess about what that person wants and how what I can offer can align with what that person wants. Now, that might seem simplistic, but it's incredibly difficult to do in the moment to think about the other person's interests. And it's a difficult thing to do. It's a hard thing to do because you're always tempted to think about yourself, what you want to achieve, what you want to get. But if you really serve that other person's interest and really think about their incentives, their values, it's going to be very much more powerful. And that applies whether I'm dealing with another business leader from outside my company or from inside my company. One of the things I work on a lot with business leaders is when they don't realize the kind of incentives they're providing for their staff. When what the staff get rewarded for, the employees get rewarded for, is not actually what their job is.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
A conflict of interest between what employees get rewarded for and what best serves the company. So that's always a big problem that I look a lot on and think
about. Well, a lot of that is listening skills, as I interrupted, but a lot of those are listening skills, right? And really understanding. I mean, there's so many times and people are having conversations, and this is one of the things that just drives me crazy, that I can tell based on the response or the answer to what I think is going to be more exploratory or continuation of what I might be saying, it just flips it and becomes about something they were thinking about, they wanted to respond and say. And sometimes I wonder if they actually heard what I said, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So your book, which we're going to get into a little deeper, combines practical business case studies with cutting edge cognitive neuroscience and behavioral economics to show how to overcome the dangers of judgment errors. But before we start, for those listeners that don't know what cognitive bias is, why don't we start there? Why don't you give an explanation of that?
The cognitive biases are the dangerous judgment errors we make because of how our brain is wired. Now, what the recent research on this topic shows is that our brain is not wired for the modern world. Our gut reactions, our feelings, our intuitions, and that's what we're talking about when we're talking about cognitive biases, cause us to make a systematic pattern of errors, very many errors. There are over 100 cognitive biases discovered. We could talk about many examples of them that cause us to really make bad judgment errors. Now, our brain, our heart, our gut, whatever you talk about, is wired for the savanna environment. When we were hunters and gatherers living in small tribes of 15 people to 150 people. So for example, our threat response, our main threat response is the fight or flight response. Mm-hmm. In the savanna environment, we had to jump at 100 shadows to get away from that one saber-toothed tiger. You might have heard of it as a saber-toothed tiger response. So right now we are reacting to external threats in the business environment, in the professional environment, in our personal lives, as though they're saber-toothed tigers. Think about COVID-19. What are people doing? A bunch of people are doing the fight response, which is going out and doing shopping, shop till they drop, you know, getting as much stuff as possible, including stuff that they're really not going to need. That's one response. And the other response is the flight response, ignoring the information, saying, you know, this is just a common cold. It's not a big deal. I'll go out and party. And that's another type of response.
And we saw that in Florida.
Yep, exactly. We saw it. We see it everywhere. Called the COVIDiots, right? And these are the two types of responses, depending on your personality. Neither of these is the right response. Mm-hmm. We are not wired to deal with a slow-moving train wreck like the COVID-19 pandemic because of cognitive biases such as the normalcy bias. Now, that causes us to assume that the future will be like today, that it will be normal. And we tend to not evaluate and understand that right now, due to the COVID-19 pandemic, we are not in, where we were in January 2020. We are in a completely new situation, in a new normal. And it's very hard for us to accept that we're in a new normal that will be around for at least the next couple of years, if not the next decade. So right. It's a very tough situation for us to realize. So that's kind of the normalcy bias really leads us in the wrong direction. Another one that's relevant here is called hyperbolic discounting, where we greatly discount the long-term impact of our decisions. We really focus way too much on the short-term, again, because of this fight-or-flight response to threats. And we don't think about the long-term implications. Well, if we're functioning in a new normal, we can't be going on emergency mode as so many businesses are doing right now. We need to really shift our plans for the long-term, shift our business models, shift our internal organization to make the right decisions. And some few people are actually doing that.
Right. So you already jumped into a few of the things I was going to talk about, but that's okay. So you're consulting with companies. So I want to get to some of the case studies and the relevance of some of the biases and the case studies that you use. However, let's go live on this. You're actively consulting with businesses.
Yes.
Give me a couple examples of what's happening today in your world with people trying to deal with what's going on with COVID and how they're running their businesses and, you know, kind of the reactions that they're doing. Excuse me. A lot of people are thinking about laying or they have laid off people or furloughed people. You know, they're pulling back and trimming salaries. So what are some real world experiences that you've got going on right now?
One is a law firm I'm consulting with that's trying to figure out how it will shift its external service model to servicing clients. And this is actually a big question because, you know, you can imagine doing a lot of documents online, DocuSign, whatever, advice online. That's easy. But the real difficult challenge is, and this is something they didn't really realize until I pointed it out to them, that they will have to focus on cultivating trust. You know, I worked with them earlier to figure out what clients want in terms of trust. And it turns out that a very important thing for clients when they're talking about trust is face-to-face interactions. Clients care a lot about face-to-face interactions and building up that relationship with the lawyer who is providing them with that service. That is not going to happen anymore. Those face-to-face interactions won't happen anymore for a long time. Again, COVID-19, we know that it will not be eradicated until we have a vaccine. Won't have a vaccine for the next 12 to 18 months. Then it'll take another 12 to 18 months to produce and ship and vaccinate people. So that will be, and that's optimistically speaking, when we have the perfect vaccine, 100% effective, created in the first round of vaccine trials, which is not very likely. So this legal company, it won't be able to last for a couple of months and say, you know, just a couple of months, we'll be back to face-to-face contact. So right now, what we're working on is figuring out how do you cultivate trust in an online environment, in a virtual setting? How do you make sure that you are responding to clients' needs? So one of the things you actually brought up, how do you make sure to listen empathetically to clients in an online setting, in a virtual setting? Because the kind of signals that people are putting out are very different when you can't see their expressions, when you can't see their faces effectively, and when they're not responding to that body language. This is really difficult. And for lawyers who are used to in-person contact, that in-person handshake relationship, touching a person's shoulder, they're used to it. This is what being a trusted advisor means. And if they can't be trusted in that sense, what can they do? So that's what we're working on right now. How do you shift? And this, of course, applies to all sorts of professional service providers, all sorts of professional service providers. But specifically, I'm working with a lawyer company right now.
Right. Well, one of the things you mentioned, I don't know if it was in your book, or you, I don't think you just mentioned it, but in your book, you talked about groupthink. Yes. Bias, right? So we've got me as a leader, or not me, because I make great decisions, but me as a leader, you know, making decisions versus how am I influencing the group at hand to make their decisions. And so can you dig into that a little bit? Because I see that all the time. I also see a lot of times people, I can tell that they have their own opinion, but they just won't give it because they don't want to be opposite of what the leader is saying. So I think that's is really important, especially now because we're not face to face.
Yes, that's a difficult problem. I'll give you an example that combines, actually, not simply groupthink. So groupthink refers to that our tendency to affiliate, to all focus our opinions or give our opinions or to the person with the most authority in the room. So we focus on that person and we align our opinions with that person. Now, it's very natural from the savannah environment for us to listen to the alpha monkey in the room and for the alpha monkey in the room to dominate. So unless the alpha monkey knows that this is a tendency and works specifically to combat and avoid this tendency, that's what will happen. Groupthink will naturally happen, especially with those more domineering leaders. So I was doing a project for a chain of hospitals in the Midwest, North Midwest. And what they were focusing on was doing a SWOT analysis. Now, the SWOT analysis, for folks who know about this, looks at the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats facing any organization. And what often happens with a SWOT analysis is that people, because of a series of cognitive biases having to do with optimism and overconfidence, they list way too many strengths, way too many opportunities, not nearly enough weaknesses, not nearly enough threats. Yep, so this is a big problem. Yep. So there you go. So working with this SWOT analysis, what I saw was indeed that situation where they were listing way too many strengths, way too many opportunities, not nearly enough weaknesses, and not nearly enough threats. And I knew that the people in the room knew about some of the weaknesses and threats that they weren't listing. So when I talked to them later, when I saw the results of the SWOT analysis itself, I wasn't there in the room. So when I saw the results of the SWOT analysis, I talked to them and they said, well, you know, we didn't want to tell our CEO, we didn't want to tell her that she was really being way too optimistic because she doesn't really respond well to other people telling her that.
Sure.
So that's one of the areas that I had to come up later and talk to her about saying, hey, here are some weaknesses and threats that you might not have thought about, one, and B, from what I learned anonymously, I won't tell you, I don't tell her, who I learned it from, you tend to dominate conversations too much. And she was very reluctant to hear that. But I gave the example of this was in 2015, and they didn't list any threat to Obamacare as a political issue. And of course, this was a major issue, a threat. The hospital relied on a lot, the hospital chains relied a lot on Obamacare. And then we had to talk about that. I had to point out to the CEO that really there is a serious possibility that a Republican will be elected to Congress, and they'll be elected to the presidency, and then Obamacare will be under serious threat. She refused to listen for a while, but eventually she gave in, and this was one of the scenarios that we put into the revised strategic plan. Eventually, that of course helped them out a lot, and you know, talking to them later, that helped them out a lot when Obamacare was indeed under threat. So this is an example.
Yeah, and I think it's hard a lot of times. I worked with a leader in a financial institution, and her people were just afraid. They were afraid to say anything that she would not agree to, and so it was very difficult helping to steer that ship, if you will, to get her to listen and get other people to be confident that they could say it without, you know, putting their jobs in jeopardy. Now, when I was a kid, my mom used to tell me to take a breath, right, before I responded. I'm a full-blooded Italian, and I've calmed down as I've gotten older. But when I was a kid, you know, I could be a little explosive. So she used to say, count to five, But my mom usually would say to me, count to 10 because 5 wasn't enough. So this is a simple approach, right? Take a breath. Take a breath. Don't be impulsive in decision making. And I know this is something you've talked about. So let's dig into that a little bit. I mean, it's a simple tool. And that's one of the things I want to talk to. What are a couple kind of simple tools or guidance you can give my listeners during this difficult time about really taking a breath before they make these major decisions?
Of course, taking that breath is a good strategy. So one of the ways of addressing these impulses, these gut reactions, which lead us in the wrong direction, is taking a breath and thinking through, hey, is there anything that might be causing me to make a bad decision here? For that, of course, you need to learn about these cognitive biases, like the normalcy bias and so on. And there's a list of over 100 cognitive biases in Wikipedia, which you can read through and learn about and take a breath and think about, hey, it might be something affecting me here. Of course, my book, Never Go With Your Gut, talks about the 30 most dangerous ones for business situations and how you can address them effectively. So that's a very brief technique, taking a breath, thinking about these sorts of things, but a technique that allows you, takes only a couple of minutes, and allows you to address a majority of cognitive biases and minimize risks, minimize problems. This is a technique that I developed that involves asking 5 questions about any decision that you don't want to result in a disaster. Now, this technique won't maximize the benefits. It won't get you the most perfect decision. There's another technique that's longer that will do that. But this technique in this current situation, when you have to make a lot of rapid decisions, will really help you minimize risks.
So, okay. Well, we're going to actually come down to the last 2 or 3 minutes. So why don't we briefly hit on those 5 questions?
Yeah, sure. First, what important information didn't you yet fully consider? What didn't you take into account? It's very tempting for us to cherry pick information that confirms our beliefs. That's the confirmation bias. And you want to address this by looking for information that would disconfirm your beliefs. Try to show that you're wrong. If you can't, that's great. You're more likely to be right. But if you can, that's also great because it'll help you make a better decision. Second, what dangerous judgment errors didn't I yet fully address? We talked about that. You need to learn what cognitive biases are and how you can address them. Third, what would a trusted and objective advisor tell me? So think about that little angel on your shoulder. What would they tell you to do in this situation? Step outside of yourself. That's very helpful. Fourth, how have I addressed all the ways this could fail? So think about the decision. Imagine all the ways this could fail. And how can you address all of these ways in advance? Finally, what would cause me to change my mind? What would cause you to revise your decision? You want to make sure there's a decision point, a revision point, some information that would cause you to change your mind about this decision while you're still making the decision as opposed to in the heat of the moment after you made it. So there you go. That's 5 questions. You ask them about any decision. You will minimize your problems with making the decision.
I like your number 4. What are the scenarios? I've played that before with businesses and we've developed, what if scenarios, if this were to happen and really playing off the SWOT as well. I agree with you. I've seen so many SWOTs that almost had to go to 2 pages. There was so much stuff in there that wasn't really relevant. And I think those are great exercises for people to really dig in, but not only list it, but what if this should happen? What if a competitor comes into your space? And right now I think it's extremely dangerous for businesses to ignore the competitive set because they're also feeling desperate and looking for opportunities. And if they've got products that could sell into your marketplace without a lot of effort, that could really create some potential issues. So, this has been a great conversation. It's really exciting. I love this, and hopefully we can maybe get back. Now, this is your 3rd book or your 4th book?
This is my 4th book. I'm actually was just invited to write another one on how specifically to plan and adapt to the COVID-19 corona crisis. So that's what I'm focusing on right now.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, I'm excited for you. This is a great topic, and hopefully they're flying off the shelf, or at least flying off the online Amazon shelves.
Yes, that's right.
So thank you so much. This has been great. So why don't you tell the listeners one more time how they can get a hold of you, your website, your email, where they can buy the book.
Sure. Never Go With Your Gut, How Pioneering Leaders Make the Best Decisions and Avoid Business Disasters is available in bookstores if they're open. It's published by a great traditional publisher called Courier Press. But of course, online, you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble for the digital and the physical copies. And of course, you can get an audio copy on Audible. Now, my own resources are available on disaster avoidance experts.com. Again, disaster avoidance experts.com. There's videos, blogs, podcasts, decision aids, guides, manuals, online classes, coaching, training, all virtual. And you want to make sure to especially check out disaster avoidance experts.com/subscribe for an 8-video-based module course. It's a free course, 8-video-based modules on making the wisest decisions. Again, disaster avoidance experts.com/subscribe. And finally, about anything you've heard here, just connect with me on LinkedIn, Dr. Gleb Tsipursky, GLEBTSIPURSKY.
Gleb, thank you so much. This has been wonderful. And thank you out there and to my audience for listening in and tuning in today. And thank you for joining us. You can find out more about me, read my blogs, or view my show videos, or sign up to receive free information at theponzigroup.com or connect with me on LinkedIn. And if your business is ready for growth and you need a CMO, but you're not quite ready for a full-time person yet, I'd love the opportunity to talk to you about using a fractional CMO. And lastly, please subscribe to this show. And if you're already a subscriber, I encourage you to tell others about it so they can benefit from this great content like we heard today and all the great resources. Thank you so much for all of that. So you can really benefit. You can go to thebusinessgrowthcafe.com. Or you can subscribe to my podcast on my website as well, or any major podcast platform. Join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Fat Cafe. Thank you. Thanks, Gleb.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.